Tapovanam, Chapter 7. The All-Powerful, Creator, Preserver, Destroyer. I am the Atma that dwells in all living beings. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all things. All that you see in the cosmos, the moving and the stationary objects, is a manifestation of the Atma. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Creation, Srishti. To alter a living being into a non-living entity and vice versa is one of the sportive gestures of God, as demonstrated several times by Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Ant becomes bees. On the holy occasions of Fridays in the month of Shravan, married Hindu women customarily perform Gauri Puja, worship of Goddess Parvati. A Hindu couple wished to avail of one such occasion to worship also the lotus feet of Swami. They requested Swami for permission, which was readily granted. They then gathered all the materials needed, but they could not get hold of black beads, which are essential for the puja. At the appointed hour, Swami arrived and took his seat. In their excitement, the couple totally overlooked the absence of the all-important beads and commenced the ceremony. Suddenly, a big black ant crawled out of a flower offered at Swami's feet. Swami smiled indulgently and commented, "What, are you worshipping me with black ants?" And he picked up the crawling insect and placed it in the lady's hand. To their wonderment, the ant suddenly changed into two black beads. So, after all, the only thing wanting for due performance of the worship reached their hand. The grateful devotees were astonished at Swami's ability to create by his mere will. The lady was immensely pleased that Baba enabled her to complete the ceremony satisfactorily in accordance with the prescribed procedure. In this instance, Baba altered a living being into a non-living object without taking away life. But there is another beautiful episode where he changed lifeless objects into a living being. Parrot from beetle leaves. Swami was at that time touring Andhra Pradesh. He stayed in a devotee's house. After meals, a silver plate containing tender beetle leaves, areca nut powder, lime, and other ingredients were placed before him. He leisurely removed the ribs from the leaves as he prepared the latter for eating, and he carefully arranged the ribs in the plate in the shape of a parrot. He was all the while talking with devotees gathered around him, and he suddenly asked them a question. "What do you think God is busy with?" They answered, "Srishti is what God is busy with." Swami promptly touched the parrot's form on the plate in front of him. It suddenly came to life and flew out vigorously, beating its wings. The devotees were astonished at the wonderful sight. Joining in the general merriment, Swami too laughed enchantingly. Diamond ear tops in cookie. Indulal Shah once invited Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba to dinner in his house in Bombay, now known as Mumbai. Swami was seated on one side of the dining table. Opposite him sat Shah and his daughter. Mrs. Shah brought a plate of freshly cooked hot vadas and placed it before Swami. He picked up one of them and placed it in the plate of Shah's daughter and told her to break it into two before eating. When she did so, she found a diamond-studded ear top in each piece. All of them were thrilled. Swami himself put them, one each, on the girl's ears. It was Kodaikanal in the fourth week of April in 1997. Several devotees were dining with Swami. Swami finished his meal and was going round the devotees, talking to them in the dining hall. He went near a devotee and said, "Break the puris." The person did, as suggested by Swami, and found to his surprise a golden ring. Swami said, "That's for you. Have it." Everyone was pleasantly surprised. Anil Kumar was also there eating puris. Swami asked him to eat fast. Swami, who knows what you have put in which puri? Said Anil Kumar. He further added, so I am checking every puri and I am eating it carefully. Everyone had a hearty laugh at Anil Kumar's words. In every such event, the issue is not what has been created out of what. It is Swami's will that matters. That alone is the central factor, the cause as well as the effect. Maintenance, sthiti. On one occasion in Trayi, Swami's residence at Vrindavan, Swami invited Brigadier S.K. Bose to address the assembled students and staff. The Brigadier spoke mostly about the lessons he had learnt at the feet of Swami, concluded his talk and approached Swami to touch his feet. Swami did not allow him to do so, but asked him, why did you make no mention of what happened on that Dashara day? Brigadier Bose replied, Swami, what should I say about it? I am merely an instrument in your sublime hands. I do not have any individuality of my own. I can never forget that you restored me to life that day. I am ever grateful to you. I cannot describe my indebtedness adequately in words. Swami granted him the privilege of touching his feet. As Brigadier Bose slowly moved to his seat, Swami told members of the staff, that day Bose was indeed dead. I brought him back to life. He has still plenty to do for me. 2 months earlier, Swami had entrusted to Bose the work of laying a 12 feet wide concrete strip around the mandir. He also directed that it should be completed before the beginning of the Dashara festivities. The job took 25 days at the rate of 12 hours of daily labor. Many a devotee participated in the labor of love and devotion. After finishing the job on time, Bose attended every evening discourse that Swami delivers customarily during the Dashara celebrations spread over 10 days. On the final day, Vijayadashami, Thursday, 20th October 1988, he was suffering from high temperature. Nevertheless, he made his labored way to the Purnachandra auditorium and sat in a chair close to the dais. Swami commenced his discourse. Meanwhile, Bose began feeling loss of breath. Suddenly, he collapsed in his chair. But strangely, even though his eyes were closed, he was aware of what was happening around him. He saw a huge golden-colored bird standing there and looking at Bose with eyes full of pity. Bose could not imagine how a bird so big could make its way into the auditorium. But he saw that Swami raised both his hands and waved them as if he was driving the bird away. And it just disappeared. In the course of his discourse, Swami was reciting a verse. He abruptly stopped midway through the verse and quickly came down from the dais. He seemed to be holding something in his closed right fist. As he lifted up Bose by the shoulder with the left hand, Swami patted the back of Bose's head with the right hand. Probably, he was holding Bose's life in the right fist, and while patting on the back side of his head, inducted life into his body. Bose opened his eyes. He was surprised to see Swami standing close at hand, just by his side, that too on the holy Vijayadashami. Wanting to touch Swami's feet, he extended his hand. Swami told him to get up and stand. But Bose continued to sit, offering salutations to him. Swami patted on his back to give him strength. He told him, stand up, come on to the dais and take your seat near the door. Bose obeyed. Then Swami resumed his interrupted discourse and went on speaking for a full hour. The lifeless face of Bose steadily and gradually acquired the glow of life within that hour. Sports Day was being celebrated in the Hillview Stadium about 2 months later. At the outset, Swami hoisted the game's flag. Bose was present there and was thrilled to see on that flag the image of the celestial bird Garuda, the vehicle of Lord Sri Mahavishnu. Bose remembered that it was the same bird that had sat over him on the Vijayadashmi day with its eyes full of pity for him. Bose came to know much later that according to the Garuda Puran, it is Garuda that carries saintly souls to heaven. Brigadier Bose was referring to this episode when he humbly pleaded with Swami that Bhagwan had restored him to life and that it was beyond him to find words to describe his gratitude to him. You are embodiment of Atma. Baba once elucidated the nature of Atma and its relationship with the constituents of the physical body, like limbs, organs, senses, mind, intellect, etc. The essence of what he said is briefly given below. Mind, manas, consciousness, chitta, awareness, senses, indriyas, all these join together to give full shape to body. But Atma is not the combination of all these things. There is Atma in the body, there is Atma in the mind, and there is Atma in the consciousness and the senses. All these function under the direction of Atma. This can be illustrated by a simple analogy. A car has steering, clutch, brakes, and several other parts. Does each of them function by itself? When one travels by car, does the horn blow on its own? Does the steering move by itself? Obviously not. There is a driver behind all these. Likewise, body is the vehicle and Atma the driver. That driver makes the eyes see, ears hear, and mouth speak. It is only as long as the driver is present that the various parts perform their allotted functions. Once the driver abandons the body, the very same eyes can no longer see, the same ears cannot hear, the same hands can do nothing, the same mouth can no more talk. All the organs and parts become non-functional. Earlier, all these were made to work, to function, by a master, Atma. As long as that master remains in it, this body is Shivam, divine, auspicious. When he leaves, it is but a Shavam, corpse. If we deeply ponder over our true identity, as Swami repeatedly suggests, we will soon realize that we are but embodiments of the inner self, Atma, and that the parts, organs, and other constituents of this earthy body are merely instruments and by no means that inner self. The Shimla incident. Here is yet another instance of the suprahuman divine power of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Once Sri Satya Sai went to Shimla along with some of his devotees. Swami Karunyananda too was in the group. That trip saw an unbelievable event. It was evening when the party arrived at their lodgings in Shimla. At about 6:30 p.m., as darkness approached, a 2-year-old boy died in a house in the town. The parents were grief-stricken. Seeing their agony, a friend advised them, "Sri Satya Sai Baba is now in town. Take your son's dead body there, place him at his feet and beg for mercy." The distraught parents wrapped the dead body in a piece of cloth and took it to Baba. Heartbroken with grief, the mother laid the dead child at Baba's feet and wailed, "Swami, please bring him back to life. Wake him up to life." As the poor woman was crying, the ever-merciful Bhagwan cast a compassionate look at the dead body. The boy suddenly came to life and began crying. The tears of grief and desperation of the parents turned to tears of joy. They washed the lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Sai with their copious tears. The devotees too were overjoyed and immensely moved at this miraculous happening and hailed the glory of Bhagwan with resounding cries of "Jai Sai Ram, Jai Sai Ram." Ultimate dissolution, Layam. Karnam Subbamma was a blessed soul who cared for Swami when he was a child and was known as Satyam and loved him as if he were her own son. As the ever-swelling crowds of devotees arrived to have his darshan, the lady cooked meals and fed them. Through endless service to Swami and his devotees, she used to feel that her life's mission was fulfilled. When Prashanthi Nilayam was being built, Swami told her one day that she would live only for one more year. Though somewhat taken aback, she pulled herself together and devoted herself with more sincerity and devotion to Swami's service. Her health was slowly deteriorating. Kith and kin of her natal home took her to their village for looking after her. But she could scarcely endure separation from her beloved Swami and returned very soon to Puttaparthi to do as much service as possible despite her poor and deteriorating health. Time passed. Some devotees came to Puttaparthi to invite Swami to their place. Before leaving Puttaparthi, Swami promised Subbamma that at the time of her demise, she would make it a point to reach her and place holy Ganga waters in her mouth. Soon thereafter, Subbamma passed away. Some of the villagers recalled Swami's promise and talked about it mockingly, that Swami did not keep his promise of offering holy water to Subbamma before her death. At that moment, Bhagwan was among his devotees in a far-off place near Tirupati. He set out for Puttaparthi, telling them that he had to go to Puttaparthi urgently. On his arrival, he was informed that Subbamma had breathed her last several hours earlier. He found Subbamma's body already with ants crawling all over. He announced, "Subbamma is not dead, she is still alive." But those around insisted that she had stopped breathing long ago, that she had indeed died, but that they were nevertheless keeping the body only for Swami's arrival. But Swami reiterated that Subbamma was still alive. He moved near her and called out, "Look, Subbamma, I am your Swami, I have come." And to the consternation of everybody around, Subbamma opened her eyes wide. Tears trickled out of her eyes. The onlookers were dumbstruck. Swami tenderly touched her lips with his fingers, and the cool waters of the celestial Ganga flowed out of his divine fingers into the parched lips. She lapped them up and swallowed. Her face was aglow with indescribable satisfaction and happiness. She touched Swami's hands softly as she closed her eyes for the last time. Swami knows perfectly the exact moment of everyone's death. Creation, maintenance, and ultimate dissolution are within Swami's absolute control. That is why He is God Himself. Creation, maintenance, and dissolution are in my hand. Swami was once conversing with devotees in his interview room. He showed them his palm and asked what there was in it. Somebody answered that there was nothing there. But Baba said in all serenity, "This empty hand holds everything." When he closed it and opened it, a moment later, there was a locust there. Wonder of wonders, there was also a tiny leaf to serve as the insect's food. The locust was actually feeding on it. In a little while, Swami closed his fist and opened it to reveal that nothing was there. The devotees present in the room could not believe their eyes. Through this incident, Swami revealed to all of us, ignorant as we are, that creation, maintenance, and dissolution lie in His control. This incident took place about 30 years ago. Bhagwan explains his divinity in a few pregnant words. He declared, "Bha denotes creation, Ga denotes protection, and Va denotes ultimate dissolution. He who embodies these three supreme powers is Bhagwan. Herein lies the sublime secret of my essentiality." Chapter 8. The Lord of the Cosmos. This play is His. The role is His. The lines are written by Him. He directs, He designs the dress and decoration, the gesture and the tone, the entrance and exit. You have to act the part and receive His approbation when the curtain falls. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. All elements lie in His control. The five elements, Panchabhutas, earth, water, light, air and space, are in the total control of Sri Satya Sai Baba. We will be able to appreciate the veracity of this statement from a few incidents. Rescue from fire. One day Baba developed high temperature all of a sudden. It was 104.5 degrees. Devotees were all perturbed. But happily for them, the temperature came down to 99 degrees within 5 minutes or so. None of those around him could understand why the temperature rose so abruptly and also came down equally quickly. At about 9:30 p.m., an open-air dinner was arranged on the roof of Swami's residence. The night was cool and pleasant, and there was beautiful moonlight. As everyone was enjoying the meal in the fine atmosphere and the prevailing merriment, Baba turned to a devotee and said, "When you return home tomorrow, caution your mother to be very careful with fire. At the same time, assure her that I will always be with her and protect her from every hazard." Everyone was somewhat taken aback by Baba's words. What made him talk of fire and of future hazards? They pressed Baba to let them know what the matter was. Swami explained, his mother was praying in her puja room. A number of lighted oil lamps were around her. As she was offering prayers, her sari caught fire without her noticing it. I had to go to her help and put out the flames. Some devotees obtained Swami's permission to make a trunk call to the lady to find out how she was doing. The lady herself answered their call and confirmed the incident. Swami too spoke to her and consoled her, mentioning that it was he who had doused the flames out of compassion for her. But the lady, devout as she was, anxiously inquired, "Swami, while trying to save me, have you burnt your own hands?" He reassured her sweetly, "No, not at all. The flames caused me no harm. Only my temperature went up a little, but soon subsided. Do not worry." Rescue from flood. During the days when Baba stayed in the old temple, there were once floods in the river Chitravati. Water of the flood rose steadily and soon it reached the temple and surrounded it. The situation was quite grim as the water threatened to enter the temple in a few minutes and inundate everything. At that moment, Baba walked into the waters and said, "That's enough, go back now." Suddenly, the flood began to recede. As described earlier, when for the first time the week-long Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajnam was performed, devotees thronged the Prashanti Nilayam in thousands. Just when the valedictory offering to Agni, the fire god, was about to commence, the sky became overcast. Massive dark clouds coupled with thunder and lightning threatened to bring about a heavy downpour. The present-day auditorium had not yet been built then, and the vast gathering assembled under the open sky had no shelter whatsoever. If it rained, the whole program would come to a standstill. People were growing restive at the disturbing prospect. Noticing their anxiety, Baba assured them, "Don't worry, there will be no rain." In a little while, the dark clouds cleared. The Purna Ahuti went on as scheduled and was duly completed without a hitch. Water turns into petrol. When Baba was once going to Bangalore by car, a little ahead of the town of Chikkaballapur, the vehicle stalled as the petrol ran out. There was no filling station anywhere near. Baba asked for water to be brought from the nearby pond. When it was brought in a container, he dipped his hand in the water and stirred it a little. He then asked the driver to fill the petrol tank with the water so treated. The engine sparked to life and the journey was completely without a problem. On another similar occasion, Baba, accompanied by a group of devotees, visited Aurangabad and Ellora in Maharashtra and was proceeding by car to Hyderabad in Andhra Pradesh. On the way, the car stopped for want of fuel. At that time, petrol dealers were on a statewide agitation and went on strike, and there was no way to replenish the tank. Bhagwan just ordered the car, run, and it started to run. After reaching Hyderabad, Baba told Sri Kasturi, "Kasturi, without a single drop of fuel, we had to cover 150 miles. What to talk of petrol? Not even water was available on the way this time to fill the fuel tank. We saw no stream nor pond on the route we travelled by. Sunshine in the Himalayas. We have already read earlier that in June 1961, Bhagwan took his parents and some devotees on a pilgrimage to the holy shrine of Badrinath. Sri Burgola Ramakrishna Rao, the then governor of Uttar Pradesh, also joined the entourage and saw to it that every facility was provided to the pilgrims. The trip from Rishikesh to Badrinath, situated in the higher reaches of the Himalayas, where snowfalls are common, and back to Rishikesh, was completed in just 7 days. All through that period, the travelers encountered not a single snowfall. On the other hand, there was welcome sunshine. The hospitable sun made the weather comfortable and enjoyable. Local inhabitants noticed this unusual weather and felt happy. The phenomenon was also observed by a number of holy persons engaged in spiritual pursuits at those lonely and inhospitable heights. They guessed, quite correctly, that a highly distinguished spiritual person must be visiting the region and causing by his presence such agreeable, though unseasonal weather. A devotee questioned Bhagwan, "Swami, you eat very little. Your body comprises the 5 elements, Panchabhutas. Then, where from does it derive its potency?" Baba gave a very pithy reply, "The 5 elements give me no potency. It is I who gives them their potency." Chapter 9. Why fear when I am here? God is neither distant nor distinct from you. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. During the time when Sri Kasturi took up permanent residence in Prashanti Nilayam, Swami used to visit the homes of residents who were then only a few. Thus, those residents could often share the blissful company of Bhagwan. During one such visit to Kasturi's house, Swami asked Srimati Kasturi to sing a song. She sang a Kannada song composed by herself. Ninna nambi bande, yenna kai bidadiru, gana mahimane Sai Natha. My father Sai, I have come to you in the fullest faith that you will protect me. Please do not let go my hand. After she finished, Swami replied to her with his own song composed in Tamil, which was her mother tongue. Virumbum munne taruvare, Sai Baba vendum munne taruvare. Why fear? Even before you ask, Sai Baba showers boons. Even before you pray, he runs to give you protection. Wonderful answer to his devotee's prayer. This answer is meant not merely to that lady Srimati Kasturi. It is most certainly addressed to each and every single person in the wide world who is afflicted, distressed and suffering. More than that, it is addressed to everyone in the entire universe. Child saved from a truck. The following incident happened in 1955. Residential quarters for devotees were coming up around Swami's residence in Prashanti Nilayam. An 11-year-old boy was actively participating in the construction activity. A truck loaded with bricks arrived and the boy was helping in unloading them. After the truck was emptied, he stood at its rear, shaking dust off his body and clothes. He did not notice that the driver started the engine and the vehicle was moving backwards. The driver, unfortunately, did not see the boy and drove the truck very fast. To his utter shock, the boy suddenly found himself pushed violently by the huge vehicle. Petrified with fear and shock, he lost all bodily control and just collapsed where he stood. The inexorable did come to pass. The heavy tire of the enormous vehicle crushed his tender leg. The only thing the boy could do in that awful moment before he became unconscious was to give out a loud cry, "Swami!" People nearby ran to his rescue, pulled him aside and wrapped a towel around the crushed limb. Totally confused, they did not know what to do next. They could only raise their heads and look towards Swami's residence. To their surprise, they saw Swami standing in the balcony and looking directly in their direction. Before they opened their mouths to tell him what had happened, Swami told them to take the boy to the hospital adjoining his residence. They did as directed. The boy's brother afterwards ran to Swami. He loudly wailed, "Swami, my younger brother has lost his leg." Swami consoled him, "Do not worry, nothing has happened to his leg." As he uttered the sweet words, he pulled back the sleeve of his shirt and showed his open palm. On the palm could be distinctly seen the marks of the truck's heavy tire. Swami told the distraught young man that he had inserted his own palm between the truck's tire and the little boy's leg, so that the huge weight of the truck would not bear heavily upon the leg. When doctors found that not a single bone of the boy's leg was damaged, they were astonished and also very much relieved. Due to Swami's divine will and immense mercy, the boy recovered soon. A similar incident happened in 1999. In January 1999, the sports day was being celebrated in the Hillview Stadium in Prashanthi Nilayam. Despite Swami's suggestion not to be adventurous, students were displaying adventurous gymnastic skills. It was the turn of an acrobatic event in gymnastics in which students were participating in somersault on a truck. Nobody noticed that the nuts and bolts of the iron bars arranged for the event got loosened. Children had completed their event successfully and there was a huge applause. At the end, Swami did not join the students to pose for a photograph, which he normally does. Instead, he went back to the Purnachandra Hall where he resides. He showed his body to Indulal Shah and to some of the students there. There was blood all over. Swami was profusely bleeding. Everyone was astonished and worried. "I lay below the truck and saved the students. Now I have to wash the blood." The kids were requesting me to join them and pose for the photograph. Poor kids, they do not know. Swami said in his usual calm and compassionate voice, "God is closer than husband." Kumar was a student in the Sati Sai College in Puttaparthi. Swami allotted his parents ground floor accommodation in the eastern block close to his own residence. At the evening prayer one day, Kumar sang a bhajan, "Sai Pita aur Mata Sai." Sai is the father and Sai is the mother. As Swami sat on his throne quite close by and nodded his head in tune with the song, Swami's eyes were swimming with kindness and compassion. No sooner had the first stanza of the song ended than Swami abruptly got up and hurried out. The boy felt that his singing was not probably to Swami's liking. Swami walked into the residence of Kumar's parents. Devotees who watched the scene were surprised. In recent times, no one had seen Swami thus leave his residence and proceed beyond its precincts. In the residence of Kumar's parents, his mother had a heart attack and was struggling for life. Baba hastened into the house, gave her a glass of water and materialized vibhuti for her. After a few words of solace and encouragement to the lady, he returned to the bhajan hall and resumed his throne. Just then Kumar's bhajan was coming to a close. When it was over, Swami spoke to Kumar, "Do you know why I hurried out? Your mother was on the verge of dying and I went to save her. Here you were singing, 'You are the father, you are the mother.' How could I sit here enjoying your song when your mother was in agony there? I had to reach her urgently and save her." the lady's husband was all the time present in the bhajan hall among the devotees. His son too was there singing. All the same, only God could rescue the suffering lady. God undoubtedly is the closest and the most intimate of one's kith and kin, closer than even husband. God is closer than mother. Swami was to give a discourse in the SAP Kalyana Mandapam in Madras, now known as Chennai. Thousands of eager devotees gathered to have his darshan and to hear his inspiring words. His divine form filled them with bliss. After darshan, Swami spoke in Telugu. Chittur Nagayya, the celebrated actor and devotee of Swami, was standing by Swami and translating his discourse into Tamil. The audience was spellbound. They were imbibing the honey-sweet speech, avidly savoring every drop of it. They forgot themselves in happiness at hearing the divine words of their beloved Bhagwan. Suddenly, a small baby, barely a year old and lying in his mother's lap, began to wail loudly. The audience was distracted. Their engrossing spell of bliss was ruined. All eyes turned towards the crying baby, who was the cause of the disturbance. A few seconds passed. Everyone saw Swami on the dais, gently smiling. He extended his open palm towards the crying child in the Abhaya mode, a gesture denoting assurance of protection, but suddenly closed it into a tight fist. That very moment, the child fell silent. None could gauge the reason why the baby suddenly started wailing and why he equally suddenly stopped crying. Swami extended the closed fist now towards Nagayya, opened it and said, "A small 25 paise coin got stuck in that little baby's throat and I have removed it. Here it is." Sri Nagayya was completely overcome by emotions of surprise and happiness and immediately announced it over the microphone. The enraptured audience exploded into wild applause. Even though the little baby was right in her own lap, the poor mother did not know what had gone wrong with her child. It is obvious that more than even one's own mother, God is much, very much closer. Suicide averted. A young man was employed as an accountant in a firm in Calcutta. His mother was Swami's devotee, but he did not share her faith. It so happened that he was accused of misusing the firm's money. Unable to bear the infamy, he even thought of suicide. His mother wrote to Baba, requesting his permission to bring her unfortunate son to Puttaparthi. But not knowing how to send it through post to Baba, she kept her letter behind Swami's photograph in her puja place. Meanwhile, the boy went to a bridge on the river Ganges. He thought that death would be easy if he jumped into the river. Just as he was about to do so, he heard a voice, "Come to Puttaparthi, come to Puttaparthi." He was surprised. "Puttaparthi, Puttaparthi." The words continued to ring in his ears. Thereupon, he abandoned all thought of suicide, went to the railway station, purchased a ticket to Bangalore, and boarded a train. Strangely, even the noise made by the running wheels sounded to him as "Puttaparthi, Puttaparthi." When the train moved fast, the words sounded fast. When the wheels were slow, the words too were slow. On arrival at Bangalore, he went to the booking counter to purchase a ticket for his onward journey to Penugunda. The man at the counter knew that if any person asked for a ticket to Penugunda, he would most probably be heading for Swami's darshan. So he asked the young man, "Are you going to have Sai Baba's darshan?" When he answered in the affirmative, he was informed that Baba was presently right there in Vrindavan, in Whitefield, in Bangalore. The young man stood there somewhat hesitantly, but the words "Puttaparthi, Puttaparthi" once again began ringing in his ears. So he yielded to that call and asked for a ticket to Penugunda. In those days, to reach Puttaparthi from Penugunda, one had to cover several miles on foot. Even as the young man proceeded on the arduous way on foot, the words Puttaparthi, Puttaparthi never ceased to ring in his ears. He finally reached Puttaparthi at 8 p.m. and discovered that just an hour earlier, that is at 7 p.m., Baba had arrived at Puttaparthi. At that time, summer training classes were about to commence at Vrindavan in Bangalore. No one knew why, in spite of that, Baba had suddenly returned to Puttaparthi. When devotees inquired on this point, Baba explained, "Students who would be arriving at Vrindavan for the summer classes have to be fed. I have come here to collect rice and take it to Vrindavan." Next morning, during public audience, Swami came close to the young man and addressed him, "Hey Calcutta, come in." In the interview room, Baba referred to the accusation against him in his office and told him not to get upset about it. He encouraged him and dissuaded him from putting an end to his life. He also told him to stay in Puttaparthi for 9 days before returning to Calcutta. In due course, the man went back to his job. He was thus saved by Baba in response to his mother's prayers, which she could not even send to him by post. His boundless compassion. Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai was once traveling by car from Bangalore to Puttaparthi. One of his students was driving the vehicle. Other cars with groups of devotees were following Swami's car. The ground was stony and rough, the terrain hilly, desolate and silent. A long cobra was crossing the path. The student driver of Baba's car noticed it from a distance. He could not, however, make up his mind whether to stop the car to save the cobra or to run over it. He looked back in the rear seat of the car and found Swami in yoga mudra, deep contemplation. He thought, "Swami is fast asleep. If the car were to be suddenly brought to a halt, his sleep would be disturbed." Therefore, he sped forward and ran over the cobra. After arriving at Prashanti Nilayam, the student alighted from the driver's seat and ran and opened the rear door for Swami. Swami got down and proceeded towards the veranda of his residence. The student was intrigued to find a white smear of mud, like a broad strip on the back of Swami's robes. He said, "Swami, your garments are soiled on the back." Swami's reply was, "A little while ago, I had to go below the car's tire in order to save that poor cobra." Chapter 10. The Master of Time. Om Kala Swarupaya Namaha. Past is past, it can't be recalled. Future, you're not sure of. The given moment is now, present. This present is omnipresent. Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Several years ago, a lady called Sakamma lived in Prashanti Nilayam. One day she questioned Baba, "Swami, in the battlefield at Kurukshetra, the Kauravas ranged enormous forces fully armed and ready to fight. In such a situation, how was it possible for Bhagavan Sri Krishna to recite to Arjuna the Bhagavad Gita, consisting of as many as 700 slokas? As Sri Krishna took his own time and Arjuna listened, ignoring the enemy's threat, how did the enemy keep quiet?" Swami did not answer her question there and then. That evening, Swami, along with several of his devotees, went as usual to spend time in the sands of River Chitravati. The devotees sat around Swami. Sakamma too was among them. Swami thrust his hand into the sand, and as the curious devotees watched with wide open eyes, slowly pulled out a foot-long, gleaming white ivory figure. It showed Lord Sri Krishna sitting on a chariot and exhorting Arjuna with Gita. The image was extraordinarily minute in detail and of exquisite craftsmanship. Sakamma in particular was staring at it with open-mouthed wonder. Swami explained, How many days will ordinary mortals take to carve this beautiful ivory image? How many hands will be required to accomplish this intricate carving? How many artists would be required to make the initial design and to prepare detailed plans? But do you see how it has materialized in all its splendor, just in a trice, the moment Swami wills it to be? If God has the will, He can dominate time and control it. What would take several months for man, I have abridged into just a moment. In like manner, it is also possible to elongate time by divine will. On the day I gave Gita to Arjuna in the battlefield, I created in his mind all the time needed. I also abridged it to a few moments for the rest of the troops on the field. Time is within the complete control of Sri Sathya Sai. He can abridge it and also elongate it at His divine will. He abridges time. Here is an instance where a period of several years was abridged by Swami into just an hour. There was a Christian student in Colombo, Sri Lanka. He came to India for college education and got enrolled himself in the Madras Christian College, Madras. One day he went to the Sri Ramakrishna Mission. He was very much attracted by the image of Goddess Kali, which Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa had worshipped. Gradually he became a devotee of Goddess Kali. He received initiation. He would meditate deep and long on the Devi Mantra. Eventually, he reached that stage when he would remain for hours and hours in Samadhi. Afterwards, he even converted to Hinduism and took to sannyas. Sometime later, he traveled to Colombo to visit his mother. The poor lady mourned in grief on seeing her darling son in the garb of a Hindu sannyasi. She knew that her son would never think of marriage and reconciled herself to it. But she very much desired her son, at least, to give up his Hindu monk's dress and adopt that of a Christian father. The son declined to do so. He gave up his mother as well as possessions and returned to India, and in due course reached Puttaparthi. Swami invited him into the interview room. An hour passed. Suddenly, there was a loud cry from inside the room. "Oh, mother!" This was so loud that everyone gathered in the veranda outside could hear it. A little later, Swami opened the door of the room and out walked the Shakti devotee, bathed from top to toe in holy vibhuti. What transpired inside the interview room? It seems that after admitting him into the room, Swami materialized a big forest and directed the man to walk into it. The sannyasi just walked and walked and walked endlessly. Without stopping for rest, he walked on and on amidst huge trees for several days. He covered miles and miles and walked for decades and decades. Then suddenly Swami ordered him, "Stop, turn round and look behind." The sannyasi stopped, turned round and stood transfixed. What did he see? The same goddess Kali, whom he had so ardently worshipped ever since childhood, was standing right in front of him in all splendor. For several years, this sannyasi had been wishing that he should remove himself to remote forests to spend long years there in meditation. Swami fulfilled that deep urge within the span of an hour. He had been desiring to perform penance for many, many years, but Swami abridged that also to less than an hour. In addition, Bhagwan vouchsafed him the darshan of Goddess Kali he had been yearning for. When his most ardent wish was so beautifully fulfilled, the sannyasi could not hold himself back, but cried out in ecstasy, "Oh, mother!" On hearing this cry, which emerged out of the inner recesses of his heart, Bhagwan responded in melodious voice, "My dear man, there is no need for intense penance in the Kali Yuga. It is sufficient if you remember your favorite deity's name and incessantly intone it mentally. Only through Namasmaran will you attain fulfillment." So saying, Swami materialized copious vibhuti, poured it all over the delighted youngster and blessed him. He elongates time. We now come to the incident when Bhagwan Sai Baba extended a time span of 30 days to 30 years. Lal Bahadur Shastri was the Prime Minister of India then. His personal assistant was Tyagaraj. When he had some health problem, he went to Bangalore for medical checkup. After thoroughly examining him, doctors diagnosed him as a patient of cancer and declared his life expectancy to be just 3 months. They also told him, "Sir, if you do not mind, we have a suggestion. There is only one remedy for your disease, and that is to pray at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba and request him to save you. There is no other way." Dr. S. Bhagavantam, Baba's devotee, is presently right here in this hospital. Swami is coming here tomorrow to visit him. You may avail of this excellent opportunity. But Tyagaraj declined the advice. He added, "I am the personal assistant to the Prime Minister of India. I do not need to fall at the feet of any Baba. I can afford to get proper medical treatment anywhere." He followed his own counsel and went here and there for medical help. After 2 months, he returned to the same hospital and got himself examined once again. Sure enough, doctors declared that he would live only for another month or so. Tyagaraj was now in desperate hurry to reach Puttaparthi. As he waited for darshan, Swami approached him and said, "Cancer?" Poor Tyagaraj burst into tears and fell at Swami's lotus feet. Swami materialized vibhuti, placed it in his hand and told him to eat it. This was done for 3 consecutive days. On the 3rd day, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai said, "Cancer is cancelled." Needless to add, subsequent medical tests confirmed no trace of cancer on Tyagaraj. This incident happened 30 years ago. Tyagaraj served in the office of Sanatana Sarathi in Prashanti Nilayam until recently. Presently, he is doing service in the canteen in Prashanti Nilayam, savoring the unbounded benevolence of Swami. The extraordinary case of Tyagaraj demonstrates Bhagwan Sai's divine power of elongating a 30-day period to a long span of 30 years. Time, Kala, is totally in Bhagwan's control and command. That is why in the Satya Sai Ashtotra Sahasra Namavali, attributes and names by which he is worshipped ritualistically, we find him addressed as Kalaya Namaha, Kala Kalaya Namaha, Kala Kantaya Namaha, Kala Swarupaya Namaha. Salutations to him who is time, who regulates time, who destroys time, who is the very embodiment of time. Time and space bind me not. Baba was once on a visit to Venkatagiri. He was about to return to Puttaparthi. An old lady, ordinarily resident of Prashanti Nilayam, was at that time in her native village by name Vayalpadu, situated on the Venkatagiri-Puttaparthi road. So she thought she would pray to Swami to break journey at Vayalpadu and visit her home. She ascertained the day of Swami's departure from Venkatagiri. On that day, she stood by the road waiting patiently for Swami's car. She also persuaded other villagers to keep day and night vigil at that spot. But the car made no appearance. Then she came to know that Swami had meanwhile reached Prashanti Nilayam. Deeply disappointed, she too returned to Puttaparthi. She found Swami in the veranda of his upper floor residence, talking to some persons on the ground. She pushed herself forward and without stopping for breath, asked loudly, "Swami, our villagers and I stood on the wayside near Vayalpadu waiting for you. We kept day and night vigil. When did your car pass by our village? How did you arrive here?" Amused at her excited manner, Baba burst into laughter. Everybody was looking up at Swami. but suddenly they heard his laughter just by their side. Swami was standing by their side, still laughing. There was no Swami in the veranda high above. None could understand how and when Swami came down from the upper floor to the ground. Swami told the old lady, "Look, you have seen how I have come down from the upper floor to the ground below. If I can do this, could I not, together with my car, arrive here right by your village, unseen by any of you?" Aneka Rupa Rupaya, assuming numerous forms. Baba was in Kodaikanal with his devotees. Suddenly, he jumped out of his bed, stood and shouted, "Don't fire!" As he said so, he fell on the bed. The body stiffened. Apparently, he had left his physical body. After an hour or so, the body moved. Baba opened his eyes, dictated an address in Bhopal, and directed that an express telegram be sent there, stating, "Don't worry, the revolver is with me, Baba." Swami Sachidananda pleaded, "Swami, post office staff will not accept the telegram if he mentioned the word revolver in the message. If we change it to instrument, they will not object." Swami agreed, and the modified telegram was duly dispatched. But the devotees could not make head or tail of the mysterious incident. A letter arrived from Bhopal 4 days later. Baba gave it to the devotees. On reading it, they were filled with surprise as well as happiness. What has exactly happened? There was a military officer in Bhopal who had served in the Second World War and distinguished himself. Despite this, he was not given due position in the statewide development programs underway because freshers were being preferred to old hands. Frustrated, he developed utter distaste for life. Added to this, his wife happened to be away in her parental home. There was no one who could console and give wise counsel and get him out of depression. Under these circumstances, he decided to commit suicide. He test-fired his revolver to see whether it was functioning all right. It performed well. He readied to kill himself with a second shot. Just as he was about to press the trigger, there, in far-off Kodaikanal, Swami suddenly shouted, "Don't fire!" At that precise moment, in Bhopal, the door of the officer's room suddenly flew open. Standing at the door was his bosom friend and old college mate. He did not come alone. His wife too was with him. Behind them was the porter who was carrying their luggage. As soon as the officer saw them, he ran into his inner room, hid the revolver somewhere, and came out smiling to welcome the guests. The guest amused his old friend officer with cheerful conversation. He recalled several happy events in their college life. He revived pleasant memories of the carefree company they shared while in college long years ago. He was quite vocal and entertaining. The lady also joined in and added to their joviality. The warmth and friendliness of the visitors soon drove away the officer's misery and restored his mental equanimity. The visitors soon noticed that the officer's wife was away. So they said that they wished to go to another friend's house. They also incidentally mentioned the other friend's address, where they were planning to proceed. The officer tried to persuade them to stay on, but they excused themselves. Promising to come and stay on their next visit to Bhopal, they took leave of the officer. The officer now searched for the revolver hurriedly, hidden a little while earlier. It was not found despite a thorough search. Suddenly, he remembered Sathya Sai Baba. Sometime back, he had gone to Puttaparthi and had Swami's darshan. His wife was a devout follower of Baba. So, he concluded that this was all Baba's leela. Locking up his house, he went in search of his college fellow at the address given to him. But he was told that no visitor had come there. Just as he returned to his home, an express telegram from Kodaikanal arrived. It read, "Don't worry, the instrument is with me, Baba." On reading it, the officer was overcome with remorse. To express his gratitude, he wrote a detailed letter to Bhagavan. It is through that letter that Baba's devotees also learned about the full details of the incident. It is worthy of note that to save a devotee, Bhagavan assumed three human forms: the officer's friend and his wife and the porter. All of them simultaneously at the same spot and at the same time, which makes it an extraordinary event with profound significance. It also establishes yet again that time is under Swami's control. This is the meaning of the Vedic dictum, Ekoham Bahusyam, the one willed to manifest into many. The incomprehensible. It happened around 1988. There were about 1,400 students in the hostel of Swami's college in Vrindavan, in Whitefield, in Bangalore. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai visited the hostel one night. The delighted students respectfully stood in his presence. Suddenly, electricity went off. In the darkness, Swami moved quietly towards a boy and whispered to him in his ears, "Atul, I will give you something. Hold your hand." The boy extended his open hand and Swami placed a laddu in it. He further whispered to the boy, "Don't show it to anybody. Put your hand behind you." Suddenly, electricity was restored. Bulbs came back to life. Atul looked around. Surprisingly, all the 1,400 boys assembled there were keeping their hands behind them. Everyone was having a laddu in his hand. That is Swami. We get astonished at the amazing leelas. Our reasoning power abandons us. Tongue fails us. Mind refuses to function. Nothing can be understood. How can we comment upon, much less explain, such displays of Swami's divine sport? That is why it is said, Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha, meaning that the universal absolute cannot be reached or comprehended by the bodily senses or by mind. He arrives unnoticed. Mudanahalli is a small town that is located on the roadside from Puttaparthi to Bangalore. There is a Swami school there. In February 1993, the school was to celebrate its anniversary. Teachers and students invited Swami to grace the occasion, and Swami gave his consent. But on the given day, he did not come, even though the expectant teachers, students and invitees waited and waited long for him. The cultural programs, children's dance and other items were gone through without Swami's presence. In due course, even as everyone waited eagerly for Swami's arrival, the entire program was over. There was a cloud of disappointment, casting a dark shadow over the celebrations. Later, the photographs taken on the occasion were developed and printed. To everybody's astonishment, one of the photographs taken during the dance items showed Swami standing among the dancing children. Not only that, Swami was seen in that picture not at one single place but at five different places wearing a different dress at each place. One of the spectators on that day was Dr. Bhatia, director of the blood bank in the super speciality hospital in Puttaparthi. He took those photographs with him to Puttaparthi and showed them to Swami. Swami smiled and said with a twinkle in the eye, "It is trick photography." Dr. Bhatia protested, "No, Swami, this is Swami's divine leela. Kindly autograph this photograph." Swami showered sweet smiles as he autographed it, "With love, Baba," as if authenticating the picture. He is beyond doubt Bahurupadhari, one who assumes many a shape and form, sometimes even simultaneously.